Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday the 10th of March, and I'm recording at 8:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quietly steady for the most part, but I place the emphasis on the quietly. The European stock markets showed some moderate gains in here today, mostly under 1%, but again, probably the best action across the boards for among stock markets. Wall Street has been up for the most part. Some of those gains are being eroded right now. And again, the other America's stock markets show some very small gains. So it's quiet activity here overall. Long-dated government bonds, which were firm yesterday, are a little bit weaker in here today. That's bond prices. The U.S. dollar is mixed. It's currently a little bit weaker against the euro. And also sterling, he asks. No, it's stronger against sterling. So sterling is one of the weaker currencies, as is the yen here today. What else to mention? Now, precious metals. That's the one area that has not been quiet today. And whereas yesterday we had a big sell-off and the lower levels were not maintained, and precious, in other words, the tail was of unsustainability was to the downside. Today we had the opposite. We opened with some strength, and not least in silver, and it proved unsustainable. So the tails are to the upside. Quite volatile action overall. I haven't seen any news to contribute to that. But if there isn't any news, you know, people will make something up. The commodity markets are mostly a bit easier, although I see soybeans are up 10 cents in one of the better gains among the soft commodities. Metals mixed, crude oil and gas up a fraction. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been a stellar performance, as you know, over the last 4 weeks and counting. And we're seeing a consolidation of gains, I think, for the most part. Now, not every market is doing exactly the same thing. Some of the Asian markets had paused a little earlier on and have been pushing up in the last few days. But the markets that have made the running, some of the best running on the upside, and they would include the Asian, they would include the European stock markets, which have benefited much more, in my opinion, from the euro's weakness than they have suffered from the Greek and related Mediterranean countries' problems. I've made that point on several occasions, but the weak euro is just manna from heaven for Europe's international exporters, and that's being reflected in the gains that we've seen there. So again, I think the risk here is not very great. Maybe we get a little bit of a reaction ranging consolidation, but given that the prior months had been characterized more by ranging than anything else, I think that the risk is very much to the upside overall. So small downside risk, possibly more significant upside risk overall. Everything that has taken place technically really does indicate that this is a cyclical bull market. If I were comparing it to what we saw last time and all comparisons with historic precedent should be taken with a grain of salt, but I'm just trying to give some sort of ideas to the possible timing of where we actually are right now. I would say that we're probably in about 1974 in that equivalent period. As you know, no doubt recall, the global stock markets did very well from the first quarter of 2003 right on into 2007. Now, I have no idea, nor does anyone else, if this cyclical bull will carry on all that long or be of considerably shorter duration or of longer duration, but it's looking okay right now. And as a matter of fact, it's looking very good right now. And in terms of factors to weigh on the market, well, I don't see many, actually. And we don't have a problem with long-dated government bond yields. That's one canary in the coal mine. We do not have a problem with the dollar in terms of the chronic dollar weakness that has sometimes worried the stock market, although I think the dollar is vulnerable in here because I think it's losing some of the safe haven support. And as Owen put it here today, it's flattered, the perceptions regarding the dollar are flattered by the euro's weakness and sterling's weakness. So, good action. Now, how do we play it? How do we play this good action in stock markets? Well, first, I'm very happy to remain long. I maintain that one does best by nibbling on setbacks. If you've been listening to these audios on a regular basis over a good many months, then you will know that I've often advocated that we buy the best, or said that the best buying opportunities are when we see setbacks towards the rising 200-day moving averages. And equally, I would say that if any subscriber, for whatever very good reasons of their own, was having a white-knuckled ride as those 200-day moving averages were tested last month, anyone in that position who was sorely tempted to sell or wished that they had done some selling, but grimly held on, I'll say again what I said at the time. The time to sell is not when you're seeing the rising 200-day moving average tested, but when stock markets have rebounded back well above it. So that's another way of saying you've got your opportunity now if you really do feel that you want to get out of these markets. I'm not tempted to sell any of my positions. I've actually leveraged up a little bit in stock markets via my trading account overall. And I'm happy to see the Fuller Money themes are performing really quite well. Now, most of those are sterling denominated in my own portfolio in terms of my top 10 in terms of weighting. And sterling's weakness has flattered the performance a little bit, enabling a majority of those positions to move through to new recovery highs in the last week or so. And some of them had done it earlier on. But of course, that's why, as a UK citizen and resident, that's why I want to have that international diversification through those Fuller Money themes in my portfolio. Okay, what is going to do well in here? Well, I think in terms of the weaker economies, and that would be pretty much the entire OECD region, I would say anything that's leveraged to the global economy, and particularly to the fast growth areas of Asia and also the resources markets. Now, I'm thinking about companies, for instance, leading technology companies are in that position, any quality exporter with an international market. And you'll find a number of those in the United States, a number of them in Europe. They probably have pretty good chart patterns. And I think, provided they're not overextended relative to their MAs, and most are not here right now, that they're attractive. Now, where's the money going to come from to fuel a rise overall? I have seen some comments recently saying that we might not see much on the upside, or that stock markets might be vulnerable because mutual funds in the United States did not have much cash. Well, mutual funds in the United States have been really starved of interest, given the gains that we've seen over the last 12 months. And that's because after two bear markets in, what was it, with 7 years between them, the investing public has opted for bonds much more than it has equities. And there's still a fairly substantial amount of money in those money market funds. So lots of cash on the sidelines. And I feel that a source of fuel here will be a shift, a gradual shift from bonds to the stock market. And certainly if the cyclical bull market in equities carries higher over the next few months, as I expect it to, and quite possibly well beyond, that will cause a further drawdown in the large, still substantial funds sitting in those money market funds. So between the money market funds and the bond funds, there is a huge amount of capital, some of which is likely to be channeled out of those areas and into equities, in my opinion. So a favorable environment overall. I think it's interesting. People are looking for lagging sectors, understandably. And you will have noticed that interest in Japan has picked up, and our own interest in Japan has picked up. But we have a conditional view on that the yen must weaken for Japan to really perform. Now, better late than never, I think that the Bank of Japan they've been doing some mild jawboning, and I think that now they're actually getting serious about increasing the supply of yen to get the currency weaker. That, in my view, would lead to stock market gains well in excess of any loss that one might experience in the foreign exchange rates. So get the trend of the yen moving in the right direction. And that's downwards against most other currencies that we want to see. And I think that would be quite bullish. Owen had put up charts and done a review of the REITs, real estate investment trusts in Japan, which have certainly lagged, certainly look basey, have some quite decent yields. And we've also looked at, and I'm very tempted to participate in an old favorite. Some of you may remember, veteran subscribers may remember the Atlantis Japan Growth Fund. That's an investment trust in the UK, which deals in the small cap sector, because the TSE 2 index, that's the second section of smaller companies, is looking quite steady and capable of, it's right on the verge, I think, of an upward break from quite a large trading range. So I can see that picking up, and I may well increase some of my equity exposure via that vehicle. Also sells at a 15% discount to net asset value. It's in the library, of course. What else to mention here? Gold and the other precious metals. Very choppy action here overall. which is a little bit unsettling for all of us who have positions in that market and make it more difficult to trade. For investors, I maintain that setbacks are buying opportunities, and when they run strongly, it's sensible, particularly in a ranging environment, to lighten a little bit on positions and then replace them on the next setback. I think that perhaps the dollar price of these commodities is overly influenced by the still bullish psychology towards the US dollar that we find in the marketplace. I think that's a contrary indicator, and as I said earlier on in this broadcast, that if you look at things like the Asian dollar index, look at any of the individual Asian currencies, look at any of the resources currencies, they are really firming against the US dollar, not the other way around. So I would not be surprised if we had a range bound US dollar with a slightly downward bias, although we're not quite there yet against the euro and the pound. And of course, I do want to see that weaker yen as a confirmation that we have a decent bull play in Japan stock market, which has lagged for quite a period. And on that note, all the best to all of you.